From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, God Will Answer. The text is found in Psalm 145 and verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. His own Spirit has wrought this desire in us, and therefore He will answer it. It is His own life within which prompts the cry, and therefore He will hear it. Those who fear Him are men under the holiest influence, and therefore their desire is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Like Daniel, they are men of desires, and the Lord will cause them to realize their aspirations. Holy desires are grace in the blade, and the heavenly husbandman will cultivate them till they come to the full corn in the ear. God-fearing men desire to be holy, to be useful, to be a blessing to others, and so to honor their Lord. They desire supplies for their need, help under burdens, guidance in perplexity, deliverance in distress. And sometimes this desire is so strong and their case so pressing that they cry out in agony like little children in pain. And then the Lord works most comprehensively and does all that is needful according to this word and will save them. Yes, if we fear God, we have nothing else to fear. If we cry to the Lord, our salvation is certain. Let the listener lay this text on his tongue and keep it in his mouth all the day, and it will be to him as a wafer made with honey. Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel. The text is Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ancient Rome was a city given over to pleasure and vice, and yet even prior to Paul's visit, there was a thriving church there. The Roman Christians proved their love for Christ in the fires of martyrdom during the persecutions by Nero, when thousands of them were put to death. As Dr. Cairns is demonstrating, the gospel is a glorious, powerful message, able to rescue sinners from the deepest darkness and depraved conditions. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Trophies of Grace and Testimonies to the Success of the Gospel.
There was no place on earth where the gospel could expect hotter opposition than Imperial Rome. And yet in Rome itself, the gospel had powerful success. Secular sources would lead us to believe that probably by this early period, the gospel had even penetrated to the highest levels of Roman society, so that some of the aristocracy had already come under the power of the gospel. Now, we don't know how this church was formed. We don't know exactly when it was formed, though it must have been at least 20 years before this epistle was written. Personally, I tend to the belief that it was quite a bit earlier than that. At any rate, we don't know how or when or even by whom. The Roman Catholic notion, espoused by many Lutherans and by many Episcopalians, that somehow Peter had a big hand in the founding of this church, is totally at variance with the New Testament. It was not founded by Peter. It is not a church that was founded by Paul. Obviously, Paul had never been to Rome when he wrote this epistle, and yet the church was already thriving in that place. It was not founded by Paul. We find in Acts chapter 2 that there were various people present at the day of Pentecost. Some of them were Jewish proselytes and Jewish inhabitants of Rome. There was quite a Jewish population in Rome in those early times. So much so, indeed, that Claudius, the emperor, just a few years before Paul wrote this epistle, threw all the Jews out of Rome for a time. It was a big population of them. Could well be that some of those Jews and proselytes converted on the day of Pentecost took the gospel back to Rome. Again, we find that there was a great scattering from Jerusalem of all but the apostles following the persecution upon the death of Stephen. Quite possible, again, that many of those ultimately made their way to Rome. We don't know exactly how, when, and by whom this church was founded, but we do know some things about it. It was a church that was made up of Gentiles and Jews. But this epistle would make it clear that the Gentiles were in the majority. It was a church that was made up of all classes of people. There were free men. And as we'll see when we get to chapter 16, there were slaves. At the time of writing, this was a church that seems to have, we don't know the exact numbers, but it was a church that was distributed, according to chapter 16, verses 3 through 15, into five distinct groupings. I don't mean groupings in the sense that they were antagonistic, but they had, because of things I'll not go into tonight, social concerns, etc., they were people that were grouped around five different focal points, or mostly households. Together they made up a strong church, whose numbers we don't know, but whose fame we do know. We are told in the next verse, verse 8, that their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world. That means throughout the empire. Everywhere you went in the empire, people were talking about the work that God had done in the city of Rome. People were talking about the church in Rome. They were talking about the faith exhibited by the saints in the imperial capital. And we certainly know that so successful was this church that within 7 years at most of the writing of this epistle, when in AD 65, Nero sought to put the blame for the burning of the city of Rome upon the Christians. We are told by the Roman historian Tacitus, in his words, that an immense multitude of Christians were martyred by Nero. So within 7 years of the writing of this book, we know that at least by that time, there was an immense multitude of recognized Christians in the city of Rome. And Nero put them to death. Nero's attitude was not an isolated one. He could get away with that because it was popular. And the more numerous the Christians became, the more fearful the heathens became. Tacitus recorded the popular opinion that Christians were, quotes, the enemies of the human race. He also recorded that they were popularly believed to practice incest and cannibalism. You can see the basis of that. They took the bread and the wine and said they represented the body and blood of Jesus. And the heathens, not knowing anything of Christian doctrine, said they were guilty of cannibalism. They were popularly known as atheists. Why? Because they denied the existence of the multitude of gods whose images could be seen and felt. So, since they dismissed the existence of all these gods, they were atheists. So the hands of all the religions were against them. The hand of the Caesar was against them because Caesar wanted always to be elevated to be among the gods. When they denied the reality of all these gods, the Christians were seen to be the enemies of Caesar, even though they weren't. So with every man's hand against it, the gospel appeared to be in a very difficult, not to say impossible, situation. And yet in this situation, it triumphed in multitudes of lives. The gospel, as the testimony of the people in Rome proved, the gospel succeeds no matter the soil in which the good seed is sown, no matter how depraved the society that it penetrates. This is the same story that we find everywhere in the history of the New Testament church. You remember when Paul went to Corinth, even Paul was scared. Seems strange that we think of Paul as the fearless one. But Paul was trembling when he went to Corinth. He was not a confident preacher at all. He makes that clear as he writes to the church there. But the Lord came near to Paul, and he said to Paul, "Fear not." And here's a good one for the people who don't believe in the sovereign election of God. Before there ever was a move of the Holy Ghost to convert many people in Corinth, God said to Paul, "Fear not, I have much people in this city." I like that text. It's nice to let the Bible talk for itself and take God at his word. They weren't saved yet, these people. They hadn't heard the gospel yet, these people. They had never professed faith in Christ yet. Didn't know anything about all that. Paul had not got around to doing his great work in Corinth, but the Lord says, "I have much people." Why? Because in his great high priestly prayer, Jesus had prayed concerning his people, "Thine they were, Father, and thou gavest them to me." God says, "I have much people there. Don't be afraid, Paul." There was a great church established in Corinth. You remember what happened in Ephesus? There was such a move of the Holy Ghost, we read in Acts 19, verses 18 through 20, that many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That was an immense fortune. Could only be because they brought so many books from so many people. There was a mighty move in the city of Ephesus. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. What is it telling us? There's no place too hard for the gospel. That's what it's telling us. There is no place off limits to the gospel. Paul's whole theme here is that the gospel is a glorious message. It is a powerful message. It is a message adapted to the needs of men and women of every class, every color, every creed, every culture, and every locality in the world. That's why Jesus told his people, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Oh, that the church of Christ would remember that. God has not called us to go and set up social institutions. Now, don't get me wrong. There may be times when it is good, righteous, and proper for the church to set up social institutions. Hadn't been for the church, the Western world would never have had its hospitals and all the things that we take for granted. Never let anybody talk you out of the good, even on a human level, that the Church of Christ has accomplished in the Western world. But those are byproducts. God does not tell us go into the heathen to make them more comfortable. Go into the heathen to try and make them more educated. We may do those things, but he says go into the heathen and give them the gospel, because at the end of the day, if they're more comfortable and perish, what's the use? If they're more educated and perish, where's the profit? He says, go and preach the gospel. That's the calling of the church of Jesus Christ. Take the gospel to the world. And if the church of Christ will keep that in mind, it will find there's not a place on earth where the gospel cannot take root and succeed in doing everything that God in his sovereignty has ordained that it should accomplish. I have a little book in my study called This Is That. It's a story of revival in the northwestern Belgian Congo in the 1950s. When God was preparing his church for what was going to happen in the 1960s, when the country would be turned into one great bloodbath. For example, in recent days, the area known as Rwanda has been much in the news. It has been a place of mass murder and destruction. Back in the 1950s, God did a mighty work there. God prepared his church for all that was to come. And there was a powerful move of revival. The work of God there actually goes back to the early years of the 20th century. Through the ministry of C.T. Studd and others who followed him in the Heart of Africa mission, later the Worldwide Evangelization Crusade, from around 1914 onwards, God started to do a work. Churches were formed. They were faced with animism, heathenism, paganism of the worst kind. It seemed impossible that any great work for God would be done in a place like that. And yet, despite all the opposition, God did a work and God planted a church that through years of mayhem and bloodshed has proved its worth and has stuck the pace and today is still witnessing a good confession of faith despite everything that the devil can throw at it. That's the story right across the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.